Blog Talk Radio.
It's Saturday, August 1st, 2015, and this is show number 21.
The age of delusion is here. The great falling away has begun. False teachers and false gospels are everywhere. The angel of light has become so visible in today's apostate church that even false Bibles have made their way into mainstream Christianity. The Bible warns that on Judgment Day, Jesus will say to the many, "I never knew you." This program exists to make sure that when Jesus says that, not talking to you.
God Thoughts Radio is on the air. I'm Pastor Brad, and today I want to start off with a trivia question. You tell me who you think I'm referring to here. Question: do they believe that Jesus is Lord? Check. And do they know that he is the Son of God? Oh, absolutely. Do they know that God is one and that there is no God besides him? They sure do. And do they know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through him? Oh, you better believe they do. You see, there's a new breed of Christian in the world today, quote unquote. They are non-following followers of Christ. I call them Antichrist Christians that are certain they are saved and going to heaven. And you want to know what? In a way, theirs really is a biblical belief, because such belief is documented in James chapter 2, verse 19, where it says, "The demons also believe." I hope that you're with me, dear listener. You do know that demons are not saved. You do know that demons will not go to heaven. I want to tell you that there is a Bible verse that is being fulfilled in our life and times, and it is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. I'm telling you that demonic doctrines are sweeping the church today. And so today I want to talk about what I call a new breed, Antichrist Christians. So let me go ahead and define what I mean by Antichrist Christians. Simply put, anti means against, and it's actually Jesus. I got this definition, I got this term from Jesus, because he said in Luke 11:23, "He who is not with me is against me." You follow my reasoning there? He who is not with me is anti me or against me. He who is not with Christ is anti-Christ. And the same is said in different language in Titus 1:16, where it says they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. You see, Antichrist Christians, they profess to know God well enough, but it's their actions that betray them. By their deeds, they deny him. And you know, Jesus clearly taught us that this day would come. In fact, it's in several places, but I like to refer to Matthew 24, verses 3 through 5, where the Bible says that Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately saying, "Hey, tell us, when will these things happen? When will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you." I just find that so fascinating. I find it so instructive that the very first words out of Jesus' mouth in reference to, hey, what's the end of the age going to look like? What is the life and times of the people going to be like just prior to your return? And he talks about deception. He says, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name and will mislead many." And so if you hadn't heard it from me before, I want to welcome you to the age of delusion in which we live. I get that phrase, age of delusion, straight from the Bible as well. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12 talks about it. Let me read, and I quote, "And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved, for this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence, a strong delusion, so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness." Why does this strong delusion come upon the people? because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. In fact, Jesus made it clear that this delusion is right smack dab in the middle of the church, referring to the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, says this, speaking to a church, for goodness sake, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Did you see that? They think they're fine, but they're not. They think they know, but Jesus says they don't know. They are deceived, but they don't know they're deceived because they are deceived. And so today I want to give you 10 attributes of the Antichrist Christian. Now, I'm not saying that all of these attributes apply to everyone equally. What I am saying is in this age of delusion, these are the kinds of things to look for. These are the kinds of attributes that mark an Antichrist Christian. And I want to begin with the first attribute. It comes from Romans 1:21, which says, for even though they know God, they did not honor him as God. Okay, so these people are in the church. These people profess to know God. They may well be in Sunday school. They may well worship on Sunday morning. They may even be ministry team leaders. In fact, they could be elders, pastors, church leaders. It makes no difference. But the attribute here is that although they know who God is, they do not live a lifestyle that is glorifying to him or honoring to him. In fact, Jesus talked about this in John 5, verse 41 and following. He said, I do not receive glory from men. And then he gave a stern rebuke. He said, how can you even believe when you receive glory from each other, but you don't seek the glory that comes from the true and living God? And then he said something instructive. He said that if I came in my own name, you would receive me. But because I come in the name of my Father, you do not receive me. You know, I'm going to leave you with that, and I'm going to go to attribute number two, and it's also found in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, where it says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Attribute number two of the Antichrist Christian is someone who suppresses the truth in their unrighteousness. Practically speaking, it means that for the Antichrist Christian, truth is not paramount. Truth is not number one. Truth is not even necessarily a priority at times. They suppress the truth. And what does that mean? Well, it simply means and ultimately means they suppress the word of God. They are pick and choose Christians. They pick which part of the Bible they want to adhere to and which they do not, what part of they want to submit to and which part they don't. And in our day and age, it's become so ridiculous that people even say things like, this part of the Bible is inspired by God, but this part is not. Now, ultimately, the attribute of all Antichrist Christians is the fact that they are lawless. I've talked a lot about this issue of lawlessness. It simply means that they put their will ahead of God's will. It simply means that the only law in their lives is their own will. Jesus said it in Matthew 7:21-23, and I quote, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. These are the words of Jesus. Understand that these are the words of Jesus as spoken to church people. Understand that there are many who think they are saved, but they are not. Again, another attribute of Antichrist Christians is that they are absolutely certain that they are saved, but what is true is they are not saved. Now, the fourth attribute that I want to talk about is as follows. You see, for the Antichrist Christian, holiness is not a priority, even though for the new creature in Christ, the holiness of Christ being lived out by the individual is everything. The process of sanctification, ever-increasing holiness, is a primary aspect of the Christ walk. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14-16 says, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself also in all your behavior. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And yet holiness, as I've mentioned, is not a priority for the Antichrist Christian. Rather, as was described by Jesus in the parable of the sower and the soils, a comfort, things like happiness, things like relationships, things, in fact, like status in the church, in the workplace, in the community, are more important than the issue of holiness. And a big element of priority for the Antichrist Christian is what the Bible calls a superficial peace. They would rather simply be at peace superficially than truly represent Jesus and function as him, his ambassador. There are many, many places that talk about this superficial peace, but I want to reference Jeremiah chapter 23. I'm reading from verse 16 and following. It says this, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets. It's referencing the false prophets. And I'm going to talk specifically about Antichrist leaders in our next program. But for now, back to the scripture. Do not listen to the words of the false prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, wow, let me stop there. Antichrist Christians, although they profess to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, in their hearts they actually despise Jesus and the Bible and his word. My goodness. The Lord has said, okay, they keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you'll have peace. And as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, calamity will not come upon you. But who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, that he should see and hear his word? Who has given heed to his word and listened? And so, again, this goes hand in hand with the fifth attribute of the Antichrist Christian, and that is, let me put it this way. The Antichrist Christian is popular, whereas the true follower of Jesus is persecuted. The Antichrist Christian is culturally cool because of compromise. The world loves them. The world loves their Jesus. And yet, the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, said in John chapter 15, verse 18 and following, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you? A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they also will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And you know, I heard a great quote from Greg Laurie, a pastor that I very much respect. And he threw out the following challenge. He said, if you're not being persecuted as a Christian, you've really got to ask yourself, why not? Along these same lines in John 17, verse 16, the Bible says of the true Christian that they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So the real Christian is in the world, but not of the world. And yet the Antichrist Christian is both in the world and of the world. And yet the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and following, do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? And what has the believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be as sons and daughters to me, says the Almighty. You see, what the Bible really teaches for the true Christian is we are called to be light in the darkness. God has called us out of the darkness and into the light to be light in the darkness. And as such, I want to talk about attributes number six for the Antichrist Christian. The classic statement of an Antichrist Christian is someone who says something along the lines of, hey, who am I to judge my role is simply love. And let me illustrate that by a quick parable. You know, the kingdom of God would be likened to a traffic intersection that's governed by stoplights. A lot of traffic going east to west, west to east, and north-south, and vice versa. And yet at this intersection, there's something strange happening. It's found out that during the day, almost never does any accidents happen. And yet at night, there are multiple accidents every single night. So they decided to do an investigation, and here's what they found. Turns out that there are two officers that oversee this particular intersection. There's the officer who is in charge during the day, and they found him to be really diligent. In fact, you drive too fast, he's going to pull you over. You run a red light, he's going to give you a ticket. This guy was really visible. Everybody could see him clearly right there at the intersection during the day. But the night officer was quite different. You see, it was found out that he rarely, if ever, even gave out a ticket. And in fact, when asked why not, his response was, "Hey, who am I to judge anyway?" Now, isn't that fascinating? A police officer who never handed out a ticket. You know, it was also found out that this guy was hardly ever visible at the intersection. In fact, the reason why is because he was typically hanging out with other drivers at some undisclosed location. And I would say to you that he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Sadly, he who refuses, let him refuse. But what the Bible says about the real Christian in Ephesians 5:11, it says, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but rather instead even expose them." Attribute number 7, the words of Jesus, I'll just read them. I can't be more clear than he was. Mark 7:6-7, he said, "And he said to them," he was talking about the religious leaders, church leaders, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.'" Wow. Again, these people are in church, honoring God with their lips. These people are in church every Sunday morning, worshiping God, perhaps clapping their hands, perhaps standing and lifting their hands in praise. And yet Jesus says they are hypocrites. Antichrist Christians are hypocrites. They look one way on the outside, but inwardly they are corrupt. And Jesus says, "In vain do they worship me." And I think I'll just leave that there, because some of the strongest language that we find in the Bible from Jesus, again, in regard to Antichrist Christians, was written through the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:18. You see, in truth, Antichrist Christians are enemies of the cross. That's right, enemies of the cross. Quoting from Philippians 3:18, "For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." Let me tell you, dear listener, that anything or anyone who downplays the severity and the ugliness of sin is an Antichrist Christian, an enemy of the cross. Why an enemy of the cross? Because the cross is where Jesus died for such sin. You see, sin is so serious that God looked down upon a lost and dying world because of our sin, and he paid the ultimate price by giving up his son to die on the cross for our sins. So any preacher that's unwilling to talk about sin is no preacher at all. He is an antichrist preacher. And again, I'll talk more in depth in our next broadcast, but I can't help myself. Anybody who truly loves people and who truly loves the Lord is going to talk about sin, because the only way to be saved is to acknowledge our sin and repent of it. Oh, my goodness. I'll leave it at that, but I'll just quote again. Jesus says that even though there are people in the church who may look right and sound right, there is weeping to be done because they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, attribute number 9, let me just give you some examples of people. Antichrist Christians are ashamed of Jesus and his word. I know it sounds strange, but it's true. Let me give you just 5 examples. The Bible clearly teaches that those who practice certain sinful behaviors are not saved and will not inherit the kingdom of God, and yet Antichrist Christians believe that they will. The Bible says that if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men, and yet Antichrist Christians don't think that's a priority. The Bible says that there is no such thing as salvation without repentance, and that yet Antichrist Christians and teachers and preachers preach salvation all the time without ever including repentance. Antichrist Christians remain silent, and they say things, as I mentioned before, like, who am I to judge? And yet the Bible clearly says that we are not to participate in the unfruitful darkness, deeds of darkness, but we are rather supposed to expose them. You know, the Bible says that real love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. But Antichrist Christians just come up with their own definition of love. Mark 8:38, Jesus says these harsh, harsh words. I'm not sure that there is anything more harsh in all the Bible. He says this, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with his angels. Please make note, please beware of what Jesus clearly taught. He said that if you're ashamed of him, if you're ashamed of his word, then he is going to be ashamed of you when he talks about you before his heavenly Father. And the tenth attribute that I wanted to talk about, the tenth attribute of an Antichrist Christian, as I've alluded to before, they are deceived, and they don't know it because of it. They are deceived, just like we talked about from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 earlier. Because they reject the truth, because they do not love the truth so as to be saved, God has given them over to a strong delusion. And this is what is so insidious about this, is because that delusion, as exemplified in the Church of Laodicea, the people who are deluded, the Antichrist Christians, A, they have no clue that they are an Antichrist Christian. They have no idea that they are not saved. They have no concept that they are deluded. A delusion is so powerful, they would fight to the death. They know they're saved. They're absolutely convinced that they are saved, even though Jesus says they are not. That is how dangerous the rejection of God's word is. It is absolutely critical. If you consider yourself a Christian, that you not reject God's word, that you embrace it in its entirety. You're going to go through times when you read something, you don't agree with it. God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. You're going to come across times when you find something in God's word, you don't understand it, or it may even be an apparent contradiction to you. But I want to tell you again to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So, when all is said and done, what can you do? What's the practical application to today's broadcast? Well, there's a couple of things that I want to encourage you that you simply must do, and the main thing is found in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Monitor yourself. Well, I don't want to say monitor. I want to say use today's broadcast and these 10 attributes as a grid. Test yourself to see if you're really in the faith. Examine yourself, or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Let me tell you what the number one attribute I think of the Antichrist Christian is. They refuse to test themselves. In their deluded, deceived pride, they're unwilling to test themselves to see if they're in the faith. And so a great test that you can do of yourself is, first and foremost, are you willing to even test yourself? I want to just conclude by reminding you that it is Jesus that talked about Antichrist Christians when he said, he who is not with me is against me. Again, Luke 11:23, he who is not with me is against me. He who is not with me is anti. He who is not a real Christian is an Antichrist Christian. Brothers and sisters, you see that in the final analysis, I mean, when all is said and done, there are really only two kinds of people in the world. There are the Antichrist Christians who believe that they are Christians but are not. They believe that they are saved but they are not. They believe that they're going to heaven, but rather they are going to hell. They are deceived, but they don't know it because of it. than there are the Christians, the real Christians, who call themselves Christians. Why? Because they actually follow Jesus Christ wherever he leads them. You see, they deny themselves just like Jesus taught that they would. They take up their cross daily, just like Jesus said they would do, and they follow Christ just like Jesus defined followers of Christ to be. You see, the real Christian is a new creature. You see, they've traded in their wills for God's will, not in perfection. That's why Jesus died, but in willingness. So I want to say by closure today, dear brother or sister, with all the love that I can muster, I want to ask you a very, very serious question. Which one of those two that I've described are you, and how is it that you know for sure? Oh, Lord, I ask that as whatever has been of you today, that you will multiply it, that you will magnify it, that you will open the eyes of our hearts and enable us to see what we perhaps have not seen. Father, watch over your word and perform it. Cause the voice of your authority to be heard and to be realized and to be made manifest. And I lay claim once again to your promise in Isaiah that when your word goes forth, it will not return void without accomplishing the purpose that you set forth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today at God Thoughts Radio. For more information about Pastor Brad and God Thoughts, go to GodThoughtsGlobal.com, where you'll also find archives from all of our past shows. Pastor Brad would love to speak at your church. You can contact him via email at GodThoughtsWired@gmail.com or connect with him on LinkedIn at Dr. Brad Righteous. Until next time, thanks for listening.